readiness. Next one, please. Today I'm going to continue with the topic I started last week about the Hebrew month of Elul. And the month of Elul is a month that immediately precedes the Moedim for the fall feasts. And last week we looked on preparedness. This week we're going to look at readiness. But before I get started, and I'll open a word of prayer in a moment, I read this during the week, something, and it really touched me. Because as we're talking about being prepared and being ready, it really has to do a lot about prayer. Are we praying or are we not praying? And listen to this. I find this so unique. It says that early African believers were earnest and regular in private devotions. Each one reportedly had a separate spot in the thicket where he would pour out his heart to God. Over time, the paths to these places became well-worn. As a result, if one of these believers began to neglect prayer, it was soon apparent to the others. They would kindly remind the negligent one, "Brother, the grass is growing on your path." Wow. So is the grass growing on your path, or is it well worn? Or you can say that about your prayer life. Maybe you used to kneel at the side of your bed, and where you kneeled, it's kind of worn, the carpet's worn, or maybe it's all fluffed up and it doesn't look like anybody's been there in a long, long time. But I ask you all, brothers and sisters, or I tell you, the grass grows on your path. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I just pray that you would be with us as we would go through your word today and grow and learn. I pray, Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you. For you are my rock, you are my redeemer, you are my ever-present help in times of trouble. Lord, in the difficult times, we look to you. In the times, Lord, when we're struggling, we focus on you, knowing that our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We bless you and we thank you in the name of Yeshua. Amen. So last week we began to look at the Hebrew month of Elul. And this month of Elul began last Saturday, August 11th, at moonrise. Or sundown, if you'd like to say. I love saying moonrise. And this day was known as Rosh Chodesh, or the new moon celebration, which ushered in the month of Elul. And as the new moon is sighted, Numbers chapter 10, verse 10 commands that the shofar is to be blown to announce the new moon festival. However, during this month of Elul, the shofar is sounded every day, leading to what's known as Yom Teruah, or the Feast of Trumpets, which takes place on Tishri 1, the first day of the next month. Tishri. Now, as I mentioned last week, Elul is seen as a period of preparation, a time of teshuvah, that is repentance and returning to God, and a time of introspection and extended prayer. It's a time for the mending of our soul. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, Yeshua spoke about the signs of the end of the age. And he told us that when you see all these things taking place, you're going to know that it's near, that it's right at your door. And as I shared last week, I believe that we are right at the door. The present period that we now exist in, that we are now living, is in reality more of a spiritual month of Elul. The period or the time of the second, or of preparation and repentance that immediately is going to precede the second coming of Messiah, Yeshua. So people, Elul is upon us. The return of the Messiah is near, and that great shofar blast is soon going to be heard over all of creation. As it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, "For the Lord himself is going to come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the shofar call of God, and the dead in Messiah is going to rise first." Now, we were just talking about that on the way up here. In fact, I had in the car with us Montine and Mitzi, and we were talking about what is it that's going to rise? You know, our spirit is already with God when we leave this world. So what is going to rise? Is it our physical bodies? Is it the soul? What is it? Well, maybe it is a new body. It's our new body that the Lord has given us. It's our glorified body that's going to rise. So maybe the body that we had was all crippled and ridden with disease and cancers and sicknesses. Maybe we were full of wrinkles and scars and all these things. But this body that's going to rise, it's going to be a glorified body. We're not going to have that same body that was full of corruption and uncleanness and all the things that we allow to pollute it. It's going to be a beautiful, glorified body as we rise to be with the Lord. And it says, "After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we'll be with the Lord forever." So now, this is the time for introspection. This is the time of reviewing of our lives. This is the time of repenting and returning to God with holiness and purity of heart. Now, we can't know the exact time of the Messiah's return. We have all the crazies out there all the time that predict when Yeshua's going to come back. I don't know, some of you remember 88 reasons why Yeshua's coming in 88. And then it's 89 reasons why Yeshua's coming in 89. And oh, I tell you what, we can't tell. But we can know of this. We can look all around us and we can see signs. And we can see the changes in the seasons. And we can know that the time is near before the coming of the Messiah. And let me tell you this, we need to be ready to meet our Maker. And you don't know when it's going to happen. Steve was alive on Saturday. Sunday, he went to meet his Maker. You never know when it's going to happen. Today, tomorrow, the next day. So we need to be ready to meet, to stand before our God. We need to be ready for the Messiah's return. It's crucial that we cleanse our lives of all wickedness and impurities and fill our lives with holiness and godliness. And God is allowing us this time period that we're in now, call it a spiritual time period of Elul, to get ourselves right for Messiah's return. And we left off last week saying that this spiritual month of Elul is also a time of readiness. And Yeshua said in Matthew 24, 42, "Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know on what day your Lord will come." So we need to be prepared and ready for that day. So when that great shofar blows, we're going to respond to the call of it and ascend to be with our God for all eternity. And if you have the scriptures, just turn to Matthew 24, because I'm going to share a few of the scriptures there. In Matthew 24, 43, it says, "But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming in, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So also, you must be ready, because the Son of Man is going to come in an hour when you don't expect him to come." You know, the coming of the Messiah will be as unexpected as that of a thief in the night. We don't know that the thief's coming. We don't know anything about it. And Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, exhorts us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4, but you, brothers, are not in darkness. And I think he's speaking to all of us here. You're not in darkness. You're not ignorant. You're not blind to what's going on all around you. So that this day should be a surprise like a thief. You are the sons of the light and the sons of the day. The sons and daughters of the light and of the day. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep. But let us be alert and self-controlled. Putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. We are to be a light to this world. We are not to be walking in darkness. We are not to be involved in the deeds of darkness, but we are to expose everything to the light of Yeshua. You know, people may laugh at us and say that there's no God and that Yeshua is not going to return. And people do. You know, you Christians, you believers, you Messianic Jews, you're just all crazy. There's no God. And certainly he's not going to send a son if he had him. And he's not going to come back and all. You're just crazy. There's a world out there that's just totally against and opposed to the God that we believe in. I just read yesterday in the state capital of Arkansas where they had put up a new law. And they put up the Ten Commandments there. Beautiful plaque of the Ten Commandments. Very beautiful, very nice. But the Church of Satan was opposing it. Why do you think you can have the Ten Commandments? Why can't we have our own edifice, our own statue? So they put up a statue of, I can't remember, it was a demon. I don't remember the name of the demon, but they put up their own statue now because they believe in equal rights. But let me tell you, there is only one God. And he has only one son named Yeshua. Everything else in this world is a lie, is false, it's deception, it's evil, and it will lead you in a handbasket to hell quickly. And we need to be the people who stand against those things that are taking place with boldness and courage and not be afraid of what others may say. And again, they may ridicule you, pronounce you ignorant, call you a fool, tell you you're stupid to believe such things, and they'll tell you it's just fairy tales, old wives' tales. You know, the same things were said 2,000 years ago during the time of Yeshua. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:3, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. And maybe we are in these last days, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is his coming? Where is this Yeshua's coming? The one that he promised you about. Ever since our fathers died, everything is going on just as it always has since the beginning of creation. Isn't that what we're hearing now? And these scoffers, as well as those of today, are saying, since it hasn't occurred up until this time, it is not going to occur. Yeshua died 2,000 years ago. If he was going to come back, he would have come back in the last 2,000 years. So it's not going to take place. But if you don't believe in the resurrection of Yeshua, if you don't believe in his return, then your hope is faithless. It's worthless. It means nothing. Just give it up then. Don't waste God's time. Don't waste your time if you don't believe that Yeshua's returning, because that is the basis of your faith, that Yeshua died, was buried, rose from the dead in resurrection power, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and then returning for his bride. If you don't believe those five things, then you have your faith is worthless and meaningless, and don't waste anyone's time. But Yeshua is returning. Peter tells us that they deliberately forgot God's word and are ignoring God's divine intervention in all humanity. And Peter goes on to remind us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 2 Peter 3, 8 through 10. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient. And it goes on to say, but the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. So if a day is like a thousand years, it's only been 2 days. That's all it's been, 2 days. So what are you complaining about? Maybe he's going to come the third day. He's coming. I promise you that. He's coming. You know, God doesn't view time as we human beings. You know, we're just these tiny little things. That's all. God views time very differently than we do. He stands. God stands above time, with the result that when time is seen in the light of eternity, an age appears no longer than one short day, and a day seems no shorter than a long age. Since time is purely relative to God, he waits patiently while human beings stew with impatience. And we do stew with impatience. It's an interesting topic. Josh and I talk sometimes about this topic about time. And we go into this, you know, really time is like a circle. I don't explain it that well, but you can really go. I believe it's possible. You can go from any one point on that circle to any other point on that circle, because time is circular, and it's not necessarily linear, just going straight one way. And I think God has control of time and space, and it's very different than what we understand things. God is above time. Peter goes on to say in verse 11, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. How many of us look forward to that day? Do you honestly look forward to the day, or are you afraid of it? Both, okay. Who in this room is afraid to die? I think a lot more of us really are. Don't want to raise your hand. Okay. All you fibbers, now raise your hand. Come on. Yeah. Because we are. Thank you, Lord. Oh, the Lord is so good. Thank you, Lord. It's important for us to note that the day of God may be sped up by God's people as we speed up the accomplishment of his purposes. Since he's waiting for all who come to repentance, the sooner believers bring others to the Lord, the sooner that day is going to come. In other words, the harder we work, the more that we do for the kingdom of God and bringing people into it, I think that's going to speed up his return. Peter continues in verse 14, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. Be on your guard so that you will not be carried away by the error of lawless men, that is, false teachers and prophets, and fall from your secure position. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 3, Yeshua warned the congregation in Sardis. He says, "Remember, therefore, what you have received and what you've heard. Obey it and repent." That is, make teshuvah, the Hebrew word repentance, returning to God. "But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you." And Yeshua exhorts all of us in Luke chapter 12, verse 35, that we are to be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning. Like men waiting for their master return, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Interesting, it says that we are to be dressed ready for service. Should we be dressed and ready for his return? Maybe all of us guys, we should just be standing around in our suits, waiting, getting all ready, because, of course, when we stand before the Lord, we want to be all spiffy, right? And you ladies, you know, waiting for the Lord's return, maybe you should put on some nice evening gowns so that when he returns, you'll look proper and pretty and everything. But he says be dressed and be ready for his return. I think more that means that we are to be spiritually dressed with the armor of God, that the breastplate of righteousness, and with the shield of faith, and with the helmet of salvation, we are to be dressed and ready for his return. Thank you, Lord. In the parable of the 10 virgins, Yeshua remarked to the foolish ones who were not prepared to meet him. He says, and they begged him to open the door for them. He says, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know the day or the hour." I don't think any of us want to say, "I don't know you," or hear those words, "I never knew you." Wow. In Mark chapter 12, verse 32, Yeshua says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." So be on your guard. Be alert. You don't know at what time he will come. "Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know when the owner of the house," who's the owner of your house? Who's the owner of your house? I'm not talking about your house that you have a mortgage on. Who's the owner of this house, this temple here? The Lord is the owner. You don't know when the owner of this house, of this temple here, is going to return for his property, for you. Therefore, we're to keep watch when he's going to come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, don't let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch, 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 watch. Be ready. You know, the day is approaching when the Son of Man will come in all his glory. And with all the angels of God, Yeshua will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. And all of us will be gathered before him. And it says that he'll separate us one from the other as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right, and he's going to put the goats on his left. And Yeshua will say to those on his right, "Come you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Then he will say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." In Revelation 21:27, John tells us this: "Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter the New Jerusalem." You know, as we're coming toward the Feast of Trumpets, nowadays it's called Rosh Hashanah, the New Year, which is not really a New Year. It's still the Feast of Trumpets. But some of the theme that has to do with it is, and also one of the greeting is, has to do with, may your name be written in the book of life. Is your name written in that book of life? When God reviews the books and he opens it, is your name going to be written in it? Who has seen the Declaration of Independence? Anyone's ever seen it? Or let's say, have you ever seen a picture of it? Okay. You see there's one signature larger than all the other ones? Remember what it is? John Hancock. When God opens up that book of life, the Lamb's book of life, I want my name to stand out like John Hancock, right on there. He said, oh, Yossi, yeah. I've been waiting for you for, I got to watch what I say, 99 years. I don't want to say 60 years. That means I've already overlived my life. No, 99 years. I've been waiting for you. I want, it says, Yossi, like this big, big old letters. Thank you, Lord. In conclusion for today, Yeshua tells us in the book of Revelation 3:4 that they who have not soiled their clothes, they will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. Your name will never be blotted out of that Lamb's book of life, because we are all going to be overcomers, right? We're going to overcome all of the sin and all the things that we do that are a disgrace to the kingdom of God. We're going to do away with all those things, aren't we? And we're going to put God first in our life and foremost in our life, and not allow any idols to get in the way. While we're in this spiritual month of Elul, the Lord is telling us to prepare ourselves and get ready for the Messiah's return. The Lord is telling us that we are to watch and be alert. And we need to pray that God's Ruach, the Spirit and the breath of the living God, will indwell us richly and empower us to prepare for that day of his return, for that great shofar call of God. I'm going to continue on some of these things. Again, it's been 4 years since I've shared on this, and I'd say three quarters of you weren't even here. Next week, I want to talk about teshuvah. That is the theme of repentance and returning to God. As we prepare for Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, have we all repented before God? And you know if you need to. You know if there's areas in your life where you have fallen short of the glory of God. Do we need, as a people, as a congregation, as families, do we need to repent and return to God so that we're ready and prepared for that great shofar call and the return of our Messiah? Be thinking about that this week. Will you think about that? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Have you truly repented before God and made things right? Check. Do some introspection. Look at your life. See if there's any areas in your life that needs to be mended. And God will show you, and God will free you, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I pray, Lord, that you, in your mercy and in your grace, would reach out your hand of love and touch your people. I pray, Lord, if there's any areas in our lives that are not pleasing to you, that you, O God, would help us and show us and lead us and guide us and the way to everlasting life. Help us, O Lord, in the areas of weakness, that we may grow in strength and grow closer to you. And Lord God, I pray